I invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the book of 2 Peter. I want to bring you a message on this subject, God's precious promises. God's precious promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, Peter writes these words, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, the Master prayed in John 17 and said these words, "Eternal life is to know God, to know the true and living God and Jesus Christ whom He hath sent." And that's exactly what Peter is saying here. Grace to you and peace from God the Father multiplied to you, and all of that through a knowledge, a heart knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. "According as His divine power hath given unto us," now listen, "all things that pertain to life, His divine power has given to us," it's the gift of God, "all things that pertain to life and godliness." Where does it come from? God gives it to us. "Through whom? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who hath called us to glory and virtue." Now, I could just camp there. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through a knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine, mighty, sovereign power hath given as a free gift, given unto us, all things," nothing needs to be added, "everything that pertains to life and everything that pertains to godliness is given to us through that knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, who hath called us by His blessed Spirit to repentance toward God and faith in Christ, who hath called us to glory." All right, what's the next verse now? Whereby are given unto us," everything that we have is given to us. Who made you to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you boast and glory as if you didn't receive it? All these things are given to us. "Whereby God hath given to us exceeding great and precious promises." Precious promises. "That by these promises you might be a partaker of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." Now, I tell you, this business of preaching the Word of God is a weighty, heavy responsibility. Paul said this, "Who is sufficient for these things?" Ministering the Word of God, speaking for God, delivering God's message to our generation. This is a heavy and weighty responsibility, not to be taken lightly. In fact, James wrote in James the 3rd chapter, verse 1, "My brethren," listen, "my brethren, covet not to be teachers. Covet not to be teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." What's he saying? He's saying this, don't rush eagerly toward and aspire to be a preacher or to be a teacher of the Scriptures. God will hold you responsible for everything you teach. And our Lord said it's better that a man have a millstone hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than to teach error when you speak for God. "Covet not, my brethren, to be teachers." Don't rush madly and eagerly toward and aspire to be teachers and preachers of the Scripture. God Almighty will hold us responsible for what we say in His name. In fact, a lot of people at the judgment said, "Lord, we prophesied in Your name." And He said, "You're workers of iniquity." The religious works you did were works of iniquity. They were not for my glory. I tell you this, we have not made full proof of our ministry. Now listen to me. Just pull your chair up a little closer there and listen a while, will you? We need to stop screaming at people and dancing jigs and singing foot-stomping songs and start telling men what God Almighty has said. Pull your chair up and listen. We have not made full proof of our ministry until we learn and until we're taught by God's Spirit to totally shut men up, shut men and women up to the free and sovereign grace of God which is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear how many times when I was reading those verses of Scripture from 2 Peter, these things were given to us, given to us, given to us? We've got to shut men up to the grace of God. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation is not something I do for God or something I do for myself or something the preacher does for me. Salvation is of God. It's of the Lord. David said two or three times, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord in its origination. He purposed it. He planned it. Salvation is of the Lord in its execution. It pleased Him to send His Son into the world. It pleased God to bruise Him. It pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. Salvation is of the Lord in its application. It pleased God to reveal His Son in me. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. As many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He the right, the privilege to become sons of God, who were born, not of fleshly inheritance, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but they were born of God. It's the Lord that has saved us. Salvation's of the Lord in its application, in its sustaining power. We're kept by the power of God through faith, not without faith, not apart from faith. But it's God who keeps us. We don't keep ourselves. And salvation's of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. Yes. Let us preach the gospel so powerfully and boldly and biblically that men are shut up to the mercy of God, shut up to the grace of God, and yet we must preach that gospel so that our hearers are led to seek the Lord. They're led to cry out of their misery for mercy, to preach the free grace of God so that sinners will flee to Christ in their need, like the leper of old when our Lord came down from the mountain. And this unclean leper, covered with corrupting disease, ran to meet Him and fell at His feet, knowing of His sovereign power. And yet he looked up at our Lord and he said to Him, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Now that's the way to preach the grace of God and the sovereign mercy of God in such a way that men are shut up to the will of God. They're shut up to the power of God. They're shut up to the mercy of God. And yet they're led to His feet to seek that mercy and seek that grace like the Canaanite woman. She came to our Lord and she said, Master, have mercy upon me. And He didn't even answer her. Not a word did He say. And she kept pleading, have mercy upon me. And He turned and said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she kept saying, Lord, have mercy. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to Gentile dogs. And she said, yes, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I'm a dog, but You're my master. And I'll be satisfied with crumbs. And our Lord said, woman, great is your faith. Can you do that? Can you do that? Or the woman with the issue of blood, she came to Christ and she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, just touch but His clothes, I'll be made whole. Now that's the way to preach the gospel in such a way that God gets all the glory, and yet men are led to seek Him. I wish I could preach like that. Our Lord did. Sinners sought Him out. They sought Him out. And that yet they knew that it was according to His own will what He did for them. He didn't, when He went down to the pool of Bethesda, He didn't heal everybody, but he did heal one. When he went to the land of the Gadarenes, he didn't save them all, but he did save one. And then we have not made full proof of our ministry until we preach holiness. Perfect, immaculate, infinite holiness and righteousness in Christ alone. He is our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our holiness. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, the scripture says, but of God, of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All the righteousness I need is in Christ. All the holiness God requires, all the perfection the law demands, all that heaven requires is mine in Jesus Christ. And I add nothing to it. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What kind of holiness do you have, preacher? God's holiness. That's the only kind that will be admitted to heaven. God's holiness. It's not a manufactured holiness. It's not a feigned holiness. It's not a hypocritical holiness. It's not a phony worldly holiness. It's God's holiness. God's righteousness. And Jesus Christ is the end of the law, the consummation, the termination, the goal of the law for holiness, righteousness to everyone that believeth. He is our righteousness. And we must preach the Word of God so clearly and so plainly that no man glories in himself. No man feels that he within himself has any holiness. Isaiah said, we all do fade as the leaf. Our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. Did you know that? Man at his best state is altogether vanity. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. They're all gone out of the way. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh no man can please God. Well, how's God pleased? He said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He is our holiness. Yet, listen to me, yet we preach the gospel so that men understand that the grace of Christ, that the mercy of God, that the salvation which is in Jesus Christ produces works of faith, labor of love, and a godly walk. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ know Him by grace, but they hate sin, and they love righteousness, and they seek to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior by walking in love and truth and honesty and integrity and generosity and hospitality and kindness and gentleness and humility and faith and love. No man has ever been saved by praying, but no man knows God who does not pray. You see what I'm saying? No man's ever been saved by works. But no man knows God who does not have works of faith and labors of love. God saves greedy men, but they don't stay greedy. They become generous and warm and kind and caring. And that's the fruit of grace. That's not what produces grace. Grace is the gift of God. Mercy is the gift of God. But true mercy and grace produces righteousness. No man is saved by loving others. That's not the way you're saved, by loving others. You can't do it anyway, not by nature. But no man has ever been saved who does not love others. No man knows God who does not love others. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see what a responsibility it is to preach the Word of God? Not just standing up, popping off, and showing your knowledge of the Bible, and arguing doctrine, and defending your traditions, and swearing on a stack of Bibles you're saved when you're not. It's delivering God's message to your generation for the glory of God in the Spirit of God. Shut up to the power of God. Shut up to the Spirit of God. And we've not made full proof of our ministry until we're able, with compassion and affection, to warn men, to warn the false religionists. Oh, how he said, warn them for me. Warn them. Caution men against presumption. My friend, be presumptuous about a lot of things, but don't be presumptuous about your immortal soul. Let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth, but the man's a fool who strives with his maker. We just have one death to die and one judgment to face and one eternity to spend and one soul in which to spend it. Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. Don't be so sure. Don't be so cocksure. Don't be so presumptuous. Don't let your hope for eternal glory rest in a silly profession you made years ago, an old profession that stayed old. Don't be following some man, putting confidence in the flesh, following the voice of a man. Be careful. Try the spirits, whether it's God who's spoken to you. Salvation's not in the church. Salvation's not in the law. Salvation's not in giving mental assent to some facts. Well, I believe there's a God. The devil does too. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. The devil was there when he died, when he was buried, and when he rose again. But he's not saved. Salvation's not mental agreement with facts. Salvation's in a person, in a living, vital, personal union by faith with the Son of God. That's salvation. And that salvation gives this strong evidence. This is the strong evidence of that salvation. We continue in the faith and grow and grow. Everything that's living grows. Promise you that. This pulpit is dead. It does not grow. It does not grow. Everything living grows. Too many professors of religion are still standing right where they made their profession 40 years ago. They've digressed a little bit. Continue in the faith and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God give us the wisdom to warn men. And yet, we preach the mercy and grace of God in Christ so as to give comfort and assurance and confidence to those who truly believe. My brethren, we are hedged about. We're hedged about in the Word of God with warnings, 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 lest we presume. But thank God we're hedged about with precious promises. Oh, the precious promises of God, lest any man despair. If it were not for His promises, I'd throw up my hands in helplessness and hopelessness. For what I see in myself is not God. I have to look without myself to see God. Peter calls these promises great, exceeding great, and precious promises. And you know, these precious promises are in some good company. Show you the value of them, the glory of them. The Word of God uses the word precious in reference to Christ. He is precious. And so are His promises. And it uses the word precious in reference to His blood. It's precious blood with which we're redeemed. You know how precious His blood is? How precious He is? How precious His blood? And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know how precious that is? What august company these promises keep. They're precious promises. Why are they precious? Well, 1 Kings 8:56 says, there hath not failed one word of all His good promises. And Abraham said this, that he's able to perform all that He promised. He's able to perform. Well, what is His chief promise? That's what I thought about in preparing this message. We're talking about the precious promises of our God. What is His chief and most glorious and most beneficial promise? The one that I'm so vitally interested in, and the one in which you are so vitally interested. You know what it is? It's the promise of eternal life. He said in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised it before the world began. Now you think about that. His has not failed one word of any of His promises. And yet He promised before the world began eternal life. Show you that again. 1 John 2:25. This is the record that He hath given us and promised us even eternal life. Think about it. His precious promise. Not one word's ever failed. He's able to perform them. And He, God, hath promised us eternal life. Now, brethren, this life on earth is short, so short. That life's eternal. This life will one day end. That life will never end. This life is one of sorrow. Sorrow. And that life is one of happiness, glory, free from pain. This life is one of sin. That's right. And that one, perfection. This life is one of toil and tears, and yet John wrote in Revelation, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death. No more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all these former things have passed away. What a promise. What a promise. I must confess, I am desperately interested in this promise of eternal life for myself and for myself. This thing of salvation is a pursuit of God. It's seeking the Lord. Oh, Paul said that I may know Christ, that I may know Him, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. How can we take such a precious, precious commodity, such as our eternal souls, and rest them on such flimsy foundations, like I haven't done this or I haven't done that, and I've done this and I've done that, and I've made my profession. I'm a Baptist or a Methodist or a Nazarene or a Presbyterian. God help us. You see, where is this promise of God? Where is it? Where is this promise? Listen to me. This promise of eternal life, where is it to be found? You tell me. Well, I'll tell you, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says this, for all the promises of God are in Christ. And they are yes, and in Christ the promises of God are amen, so be it unto the glory of God. Where is this promise? In Christ. And it's nowhere else. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Could that be spoken in a clearer fashion? I wouldn't know how. This is the record. This is the truth. This is the testimony. This is written down. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, not in the law, not in the church, not in the ordinances, not in baptism, not in your profession. It's in Christ. And he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God, listen to me, hath not life. God has no spiritual blessings for sinners except in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. God has no word of forgiveness or redemption for sinners except in Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins through his blood. You don't spell that W-A-T-E-R. That's blood, precious blood. God will not speak to any man, nor will he be spoken to by any man except through Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's a promise, and it's precious. It's the promise of God who cannot lie. It's the promise of God given us before the foundation of the world. It's the promise of eternal life. But that promise and that life is in Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And the word is clear. And it's not a matter of denominationalism or sectarianism or what you think, I think, or anybody else thinks. It's what hath the Lord said. There's going to be a flood, Noah said. They said, I don't believe it, but it came. And the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Precious promises. Now, I have this message on a cassette tape called Precious Promises. If you want it, write to me. The address will be given to you in a few moments. There's another message that I'll bring next week on We Preach Christ and Him Crucified. Now, if you want both of these messages on this cassette tape, you write to me. Send $2. That's what it costs us to produce them and mail them. Until next week, I bid you a pleasant good day.